Hello, full-bodied family. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of the Full-Bodied Crime Podcast. As always, my name's Kayla, and I'm your host for this episode. I actually did this specific crime because I was supposed to have one of my best friends do this with me, but you know how life goes. You get super busy and trying to match up schedules. It all the time doesn't work. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get together this week, but this episode is dedicated to her. She probably would have killed me had we done this in person, so I'm somewhat glad that, you know, we're not in the same room. So, Tori is actually going to go teach English in Costa Rica, so of course I had to do a Costa Rican murder. So, sorry, Tori, but this episode's for you. But without further ado, let's get into today's crime, and I apologize once again. I have been hit by the seasonal allergy train, so I'm dying today, so don't mind the extra congestion and the squeaky voice. I promise you guys 2 episodes in 24 hours and we're doing it. So on this episode, we're going to be discussing the murder of Carla Stefaniak. Carla Stefaniak was an absolutely gorgeous woman, and she was originally from Venezuela and had, you know, the Venezuelan accent and the Venezuelan beauty, but she moved to the United States and lived in Florida. So I'm kind of rather shocked that I've never heard of this case, aside from the Investigation Discovery show Still a Mystery, which is actually where I got a lot of information about this case. So if I'm not citing something, it's because I got it from Still a Mystery. But like I said, I've never heard about it until I watched this show, so it's pretty surprising to me that it wasn't national news, and if it was national news, I completely missed it. But so Carla Stefaniak was this pretty much Instagram model, travel blogger with this adventurous, energetic soul. She was constantly traveling and took every chance she could get to go explore the world. Dream job, seriously. Like, if I could pick any career, it would be travel blogging. Carla was a 36-year-old female who lived in Florida, and she actually had a career as an insurance agent. And like I said, she was a travel blogger, but this trip to Costa Rica wasn't solely for travel blogging, but she also went at this particular time of the year because it was around her birthday. Now, per this Still a Mystery documentary on the ID channel, her family basically summarizes that Carla has 2 passions. One of them is traveling, and the other is social media. Whenever they would travel with her, she was constantly on her phone taking photos and videos, documenting her adventures, and to keep in touch with family and friends while she was out and about exploring the world. And you know, this constant posting for her family and friends was also like a little reassurance to let them know that Carla was safe. Like, whatever she was doing, wherever she was on this huge planet, at least she's posting, enjoying herself, enjoying her life, and most importantly, she's safe. So Carla embarks on this Costa Rican journey with her sister-in-law, Rachel, and they honestly look like they're having the time of their lives. They're taking pictures by the beach, drinking those amazing beachy cocktails with the little umbrellas, hanging out in resort pools. Like, they're seriously living their absolute best life. In Costa Rica, you guys, if you've never seen it, it's literally breathtakingly gorgeous. I mean, it's definitely somewhere that should be on everybody's to travel to as soon as possible list because it is stunning. But Carla and Rachel are having their, you know, absolutely dreamy vacation when Carla decides to do something somewhat out of the ordinary. Well, at least out of the ordinary for a basic person like me, but you know, not necessarily something out of the ordinary for Carla, who had this traveling gypsy soul. Carla was initially scheduled to fly back to Florida on November 27, 2018, with her sister-in-law, Rachel. But since her birthday fell on the 28th of November, she was basically like, you know what, I'm going to change my flight to the United States, and I'm going to stay another night, get one more day of traveling in, because that's what I really want to be doing on my birthday. Now, Rachel was hesitant to leave Carla in Costa Rica alone, but they had already been on vacation 4 to 5 days at this point, so Rachel had to get back to her life in the States, and honestly, per my understanding, it wasn't infrequent or abnormal for Carla to travel by herself. She had seemingly done it before, and in no way, shape, or form did she seem nervous in the slightest about staying another night in Costa Rica alone. Which, I mean, this is pretty cool. I wish I was like Carla, where you can completely, you know, take off in a place by yourself, because I'm not like that at all. I lost my boyfriend for 4 minutes in Nashville, and I suddenly was like a police dog on high alert. I was like, where is he? I need to find him. I'm going to sniff him out, but I'm not nearly as independent as Carla was, especially when I'm in an unfamiliar area. But so at this point, Rachel and Carla have had an amazing trip. Carla feels comfortable in her surroundings. She even captions one of her Instagram photos that she's going to be a future resident of Costa Rica someday. She's loving the area so much, so Carla decides to stay alone that one more night in San Jose, Costa Rica. And San Jose is actually not only the capital of Costa Rica, but it's also the largest city in Costa Rica. Now, I look at some of Google's frequently asked questions about San Jose, Costa Rica, and one of the questions was, quote, is it safe in San Jose, Costa Rica? And this direct quote provided by SafeAround.com states, San Jose has several safe attractions during the day, but you should avoid walking around the city at night. Petty crime and car theft, especially theft of luggage from parked cars, are very common. Crowded tourist areas attract pickpocketers, so keep an eye out for your belongings. End quote. So honestly, you know, I'm sure, especially in a large city, that San Jose had its share of murders and assaults, but it primarily seems to be like petty theft that tourists really experience. So, you know, if they had to encounter a crime while being on vacation, it would be more of the petty theft than murder. So another article reported that due to this area being such a large area and frequented by tourists, they had a large amount of law enforcement placed in this area to ensure tourist safety. So all around, Carla is feeling pretty safe. So on November 27th, 2018, Carla is having a routine last day of travel. She drops her sister-in-law off at the airport and drops a rental car off at the San Jose airport, and then she gets picked up by an Uber driver. Now, she talks this Uber driver into giving her a tour around downtown San Jose, so she gets to see a little bit more of the town and area before she's dropped off at her Airbnb, which is actually located near the airport. At this time, she's been with the Uber driver for quite some time. She's feeling pretty comfortable with him and arranges with him. Oh, I can't talk right now. And she arranges with him to have him pick her up the next morning from her Airbnb. He agrees, and it's like, okay, perfect. This is one less thing I have to worry about. My transportation to the airport is arranged, and we're good to go, basically. Now, as I mentioned, Carla traveled, so she didn't put herself in situations where she didn't feel comfortable. So she's now comfortable with her Uber driver, and she's additionally staying in an Airbnb with, like, numerous homes and a gated community and with numerous security guards. So she's being completely smart about this entire traveling thing and the locations where she's staying. And she's even being more cautious because she is by herself, so seemingly she's doing everything correctly. The trip with the Uber driver is arranged for 8:30 the next morning on the 28th, which is Carla's actual birthday, and so far the remainder of the 27th is seeming like the perfect last day of her birthday vacation in paradise. Carla's now checked into her Airbnb. She's absolutely amazed by this place. It's beauty, it's security. Carla is so happy, and she's texting her family and friends pictures of her room and her view, and she even takes a really gorgeous selfie by the pool. And this was actually the last known picture taken of Carla. So it's getting later in the evening, and it begins to rain. So Carla heads back to her room and is just listening to the rain, enjoying her last day of being 35. I mean, I believe she was turning 36 the next day, not 37, but we all know math isn't my thing, but I'm pretty sure she's 35 at this time, turning 36 on the 28th, the following day. So it's raining, Carla's relaxing, and around 7:30 p.m., something abnormal happens, and the power goes out. Now, she sent her family pictures and was posting pictures of the power outage on her social media, and I will attach all the pictures on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter because they're super, super eerie and creepy. Like, I would not be okay. I would be 110% freaking out. I freak out if the power goes off in Oakdale, for Christ's sakes, where I live, and I live on a busy road in a town where literally, I mean, we get the occasional drug bust, but seriously, there's not much else that goes on here, so I would die of anxiety in my room if I lost power in a place that I was completely unfamiliar with and basically in the middle of a tropical jungle, because that's what Costa Rica pretty much is, right? I would just be freaking out. So Carla's power goes out and she's sending pictures to her family and friends, posting them on social media. And at this point, Carla is kind of, you know, thinking the place is a little sketchy and she isn't feeling nearly as comfortable as she did when she initially got to this gated complex resort. And she actually sent a text message that this place, like, quote, this place is sketchy, to her sister-in-law, Rachel. And that was actually one of the last text messages sent from Carla. But she texted her friend Keith and told him that she needed a bottle of water and she didn't have any water in her room. She had been out all the day in the sun exploring and she was super desperate at this time to just drink some water. Now, Keith is telling her, basically, do not leave your room. You don't need water. You know, drink out of the faucet. Just stay secure and locked in one place. Now, at this time, Carla's also texting her friend Laura, and she's telling Laura, too, I just need some water. I think I'm going to go ask one of the guards where I can purchase a water bottle. And that was around 8:58 p.m. of that night. So, right after this text message, Carla's phone goes silent. It's around 9 p.m. at this time, and you know, like we've seen in every other case, her family's logical brain begins kicking in, thinking, well, you know, the power went out, maybe her phone died, maybe she just turned it off to conserve her battery for her flight tomorrow. I mean, maybe she fell asleep. At this point, they're not thinking necessarily anything bad has happened, and their brains are pretty much in a 100% logical state. But all communication is completely shut off at this point. So at this point, her family assumes, you know, that Carla's still safe. Everyone goes to bed. And the next morning on the 28th is Carla's actual birthday. Now, they're ready to make her feel very special for her birthday. They begin calling her, sending her text messages, and posting on her social media accounts. But her calls are going unanswered and straight to voicemail. Her texts are going undelivered, and there's absolutely no activity on any of her social media accounts. Now, once her family sees that she hasn't been on social media, and her last login was around 8:40 p.m. the night before, this is when they become extremely concerned. Carla was the type of person who made the entire month of November her birthday month. So for her not to be posting and to not be replying to anyone's messages, this is now sending a huge red flag to all of her family and friends. Carla's friend Laura was scheduled to pick her up from the airport, and even though she hadn't heard anything from Carla, her friends and family are like just still hoping for the best. They're praying that they see Carla walk out of the airport. So Laura makes one big circle around the arrivals at the Fort Lauderdale airport, and unfortunately there's no Carla. She makes another loop around, and another, and another, and another. But there's still no sign of Carla. At this point, everyone from the flight had come off the plane, picked up their bags, and were on to their next destination. So Laura parks her car and goes into the airport to talk to the airline to see if they had any information on Carla. But the ticketing agent tells Laura something that completely makes her heart sink. Carla never went to the airport. She never got on her flight, and she didn't get on the airplane to come back to the United States. Now, Laura knows that she hasn't heard from Carla because her phone's dead. Carla isn't conserving her battery. She wasn't just asleep. Like, any excuse as to why she's not replying is not making sense at this point. So, Laura and Carla's family know that something's terribly wrong, and something awful has happened. So, they're in absolute sheer panic. Her family immediately calls to Costa Rica and calls Costa Rican and United States police in an attempt to find Carla. But even in Costa Rica, the 48-hour rule still applies where they can't begin searching for her until she's been missing for 48 hours. So basically, there's nothing urgently done when Carla doesn't show up from her flight, which I find completely ridiculous because this person's basically on social media 24/7. She has her phone attached to her hip. The last thing she said to anyone was basically that she was going to leave her room to go get water, and now she's vanished. Like, to me, this completely doesn't make any sense. I understand that law enforcement has certain, you know, guidelines they need to follow, and they can't follow up on every single missing person's case, but seriously, with this case, there's sign after sign indicating that something terrible has happened, and in situations like this, I feel like that 48-hour rule needs to just go out the window because you have to find this person because if all signs are indicating that she's in serious trouble, she's probably in serious trouble. Now, family takes her story, absence, and pictures to social media and hope that social media will offer something to help them locate Carla. But there's absolutely no knowledge of the whereabouts of Carla Stefaniak at this point. Now, her family's waiting in absolute agony for any sign of Carla or any information on her whereabouts. But they seriously just can't wait in Florida anymore, just wondering where Carla is, waiting for this 48 hours to pass. So her brother Carlos and a family friend named Greg take the next flight to San Jose, Costa Rica, and they are on an absolute mission to find Carla. At this point, when they get there, it's December 1st, 2018, and Carla has been missing for almost a total of 4 days. Her brother and his friend get the exact room that Carla stayed in, and it's a truly beautiful room with an absolutely jaw-dropping view, but there's no sign of Carla. Her room's clean, and there's just no indication or clues of where Carla could be. So Carlos and Greg begin questioning the security staff and are asking if they've seen anything at all, if they remember Carla. Basically, they're just asking them for any possible information on where she may be. This is when one of the security guards offers a potential clue. He says that he actually saw Carla on the morning of the 28th, so her birthday morning, and he saw her get into a grayish car, which he presumed was her Uber, and this car got there at around 5:20 in the morning. She had her luggage, lifted it into the trunk, and they went off on their way, and she had never been seen since. But this guard is adamant that the Uber driver had picked her up that morning. So at this point, the family begins thinking, well, maybe she was over the power being out and kind of tired of being scared, so she just wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible and get to the airport. So maybe then something happened on the way to the airport versus at the Airbnb. Police immediately get in touch with the Uber driver that Carla had arranged from the night before, but he's a completely different story than the guard. He's saying that he never picked up Carla that day and that she never showed up to his car. The Uber driver went at a scheduled 8:30 time in the morning and waited, but Carla never showed up. Luckily for the police, they can figure out which two of the men are lying. Either the security guard is lying about seeing her getting into a car, or the Uber driver is lying about what time he picked her up. And Uber records are about to unveil which one is being deceitful. Uber records show that the Uber driver arrived at 8:30, his normal scheduled time, waited and never picked up Carla. There is no record of him at the complex at 5:20 a.m. when the guard said he saw someone there to pick up Carla. But a guard did actually tell him that he should leave because Carla was already gone. And she had already been picked up at 5:20 in the morning. So the driver that was scheduled for 8:30 was told that she had been picked up at 5 a.m. So he left. He was confused. And then the entire case gets more and more confusing because you would naturally think, well, okay, maybe she got a different Uber driver and wanted to leave early, but there's no records of anyone going to the compound at 5:20 a.m. that day. Nonetheless, to pick up Carla, and her credit card records show no sign of her getting an Uber that day. Her family also notes that Carla hated waking up early. So the fact that she would have woken up this early to catch an Uber seems completely unlike Carla, which I can completely relate, especially on my birthday. You best know I'm sleeping in. At this point, it's seeming like something terrible has happened to Carla, so they now get the FBI involved in the case to work with the Costa Rican police so that they can further aid in finding where in the world Carla is. The FBI agent begins going through her phone and bank records, but there's absolutely no movement on her bank account, and the iPhone shows no activity since the last text to her friend Laura about wanting to go out and get a bottle of water. The iPhone records also indicate that the last place that Carla was, technologically active, it was at the villa where she was staying. So at this point, investigators are feeling like there's no way that she left this complex willingly, and this case needs to be solved immediately because she is most likely in grave danger. But her brother and family and friends are confused at this point. They've already been to the room where Carla spent her last night, but it's seemingly untouched. It shows no signs that Carla was even there. Furthermore, it doesn't indicate any signs of a struggle at all. Additionally, the cleaning lady said that when she went to flip the room for the next guest, it was already clean, and she basically confirmed that nothing looked abnormal in the room. There was no red flags indicative of a struggle, kidnapping, or murder. So literally her family and friends are at a loss for words at this point because it just doesn't make sense. Where on the planet is Carla? Now, their biggest fear is understandably human sex trafficking. And they're so worried because of her beauty and gender and the fact that Carla was alone. She could have been taken and sold into the sex trafficking world, which is everywhere around the world at this point. And it's so sickening and just horrific for someone to have to go through that. And I truly wonder how many missing people have been sold into the sex slavery world, but at this point, it's one of her family's biggest fears, and they're not stopping for anything until they find Carla. Now, on December 3rd, 2018, just a few days after the disappearance of Carla, authorities begin really fishing for evidence on the whereabouts of her. They forensically inspect Carla's Airbnb and begin doing ground searches near the complex. Immediately, investigators were alarmed by what they found at her Airbnb. There was obvious signs of blood stains and even more evidence that someone tried to clean up the room several times with bleach. Once they uncovered this evidence, they knew that Carla most likely met with foul play. Nearly in the same moment in time, investigators that were searching the surrounding woods near the Airbnb, their cadaver dogs alerted authorities that something was decomposing in the area. And that's when they found the body of Carla Stefaniak. Per ChipChick.com, quote, "The body was so badly decomposed, it was not immediately evident that it was Carla. Her body was partially buried and covered in plastic bags. Once authorities performed an autopsy, they discovered that the death had been extremely violent. The autopsy showed multiple stab wounds to the neck and upper extremities. However, the cause of death was ruled as blunt force trauma to the head. The half-naked, partially decomposed body of Carla Stefaniak was found just 1,000 feet away from the room where she was staying in the Airbnb. One of the worst things in this entire case is that Carla's brother and father had to go make a positive ID on the body, and once they realized it was, in fact, Carla, her father said, quote, "I'm here. We always love you. Please fly now. This place is not for you. There is a nice place with so many lights waiting for you. Please fly as soon as you can. God bless you forever." I mean, how absolutely heart-wrenching is that? And actually watching him say that, oh, it was just absolutely devastating. So Carla's body was absolutely mutilated, so I couldn't imagine what her father and brother saw. Reports say that when she had the stab wounds, they were located on her face, neck, body, even through the palm of her hand, indicating that she was trying to defend herself throughout this brutal assault. It was clear that her murder was sexually motivated, and robbery was ruled out because her passport, phone, watch, and laptop were all scattered near Carla's body. They knew that because she was drop-dead gorgeous and alone in an unfamiliar place, that she was the perfect victim. Now, luckily the same day as when her body was found, there was an arrest. The main suspect and person that was arrested was the guard of the Airbnb complex named Bismarck Martinez. He was the same guard who told her family that he saw an Uber driver pick up Carla at 5 a.m. in the morning on the day of her murder, and the same security guard who shook hands and greeted her family as they traveled across seas to find Carla Stefaniak. Now, since he was a Nicaraguan illegal immigrant, authorities knew they had to move quickly because he could easily escape back to Nicaragua and flee from the police. So they arrested him for the murder of Carla, and he actually recently stood trial for this crime. Even though police made one immediate arrest, Carla's family isn't necessarily pleased because they feel like more than one individual was involved with the rape and murder of Carla. I mean, in the amount of time they had to sexually assault her, forcibly drag her muscular 200-pound body across 1,000 feet, brutally stab her with so much force that the knife broke, and she was so brutally assaulted that she was found to have fractured vertebrae in her spine. So they murdered her and then thoroughly cleaned the room and got rid of all the blood-soaked sheets, bleached the room more than once so tourists could rent it out literally the very next day. I mean, I have to agree with Carla's family. It doesn't seem correct that there was only one person involved in this case. But, unfortunately, Bismarck isn't talking, and he is the only one thus far that has stood trial for the murder of Carla Stefaniak. But, as Bismarck Martinez is the only one who's been arrested, even though authorities believe that there was up to 5 individuals involved. So on February 17th, 2020, literally just 11 days ago, 33-year-old Bismarck Espinoza Martinez was tried and found guilty of second-degree murder. He was sentenced to 16 years in prison for the murder of Carla Stefaniak, and so far he was the only one charged in her case. Carla's family requested the maximum sentence of 50 years, but unfortunately Bismarck only received 16. Per a NewYorkPost.com article, Carla's father states, quote, "For me, this is another day of frustration, sadness, and pain," end quote, which I can totally agree. I mean, 50 years is the maximum sentence for such a horrific crime, and you're only getting 16 years? That's not even half. Like, that makes no sense. So additionally, as part of his sentence, Bismarck was ordered to pay the Stefaniak family $53,000 in compensation. However, nothing, no amount of time spent in prison, no amount of money, no amount will ever fill the void for Carla's loved ones, as their life is forever dimmed by the absence of Carla Stefaniak. I pray for her family and that they find peace, but please, you guys, if you're ever traveling, please always, always, always have a person with you. It's a very dangerous world out there, and you never know what danger is lurking around every corner. I mean, this guy was literally a security guard. That's someone you're supposed to feel comfortable with. It makes no sense, and it's just a terrible, terrible murder and rape and sexual assault of Carla Stefaniak. So, you guys, that is the murder of Carla Stefaniak. I'm sorry, Tori, that I did a Costa Rican murder, but I had to do one just for you so that you're, you know, on high alert, because I would absolutely die if anything happened to you. But I just pray for the Stefaniak family, and I hope they find peace someday. And, oh, just absolutely tragic. And I mean, you guys, she's so, so beautiful. Of course, the pictures will be posted on our Instagram page, FB_crime podcast. With that, it'll be attached to our Twitter, @FullBodiedCrime, and our Facebook, Full-Bodied Crime. Please feel free to check up on the sources at full-bodiedcrime.com. And lastly, but not leastly, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And please, please, please go give us a 5-star review on Apple and stream us wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm sorry that I'm sick. I don't feel well. I'm nasally, but I promise to give you guys another episode in 24 hours. So I made my time by 10 minutes. Literally, I hit the 24-hour mark in 10 minutes. That's crazy. So I'm glad I could bring you this case, and I'm glad there's a little bit of justice for Carla Stefaniak's family, even though it's not nearly enough. So, well, you guys, I will see you soon with the next case. Hopefully, I'm done with my seasonal allergies by then, but you all have a great, beautiful, and blessed day. We will see you soon. Buh-bye.